I got to tell you this. I've mentioned this earlier in our offering time. I've sat through three services now. This will be the third one. And so I'm listening to all of this worship and praise. And, you know, I've watched the video now too. We didn't show it in our first service, but we showed it to you in the second and third. And I'm thinking to myself, is this not the most amazing thing in the world? That Christ would die on a cross for our sins, but not remain in the grave, right? His whole plan included rising from the grave and defeating death forever. And there's a message in that that he's sending to every one of us today. He's saying, this is going to happen to you too. This is what's possible for you. And so every once in a while, I think to myself, Easter just blows me away. It's just like such an amazing time because so many people gather together to worship the Savior who has risen from the grave, right? Today, I couldn't find an accurate estimate, but there are some that say hundreds of millions of people will be worshiping and celebrating the resurrection today. Hundreds of millions of people. And I just thought, is this not amazing that on one day we come together as the body of Christ and we say, hallelujah, he is risen, and we celebrate on this day together. One common thing, right? One common thing, Christ rose. And then I thought about this. I thought, you know, there are some that this is kind of a one-day deal for them, right? Not to be a negative Nelly, but I mean, some, they just look at today and they're like, yeah, I'm going to celebrate today. I believe, I do believe that he died on the cross. I do believe he rose from the grave. I need to be in church. I need to worship today. And they do it. And I think that's awesome that they choose to. But that's one end of the spectrum. The rest of their life really isn't impacted by the resurrection in a profound way. Right? Like tomorrow's still going to be another Monday morning at the office or at work or at home or in school, right? It's the day after Easter. Easter really doesn't have a lot to do with the rest of their week for some. Now for others, there are people on this planet that everything that they do and every decision that they make is impacted by the resurrection. Do you know that? I mean, it may be you. I'm assuming that it's not everyone, right? So you got some that are like, today's the day we're going to celebrate. Others, you go, every day's the day. Every day, because of what Christ did when he rose from the grave, every day is special and every day is amazing. And because of that, because he rose from the grave, every decision that I make and everything that I do, it impacts his kingdom. Because I am his and he is mine, right? So this is what I want to ask you this morning on Easter Sunday. Where do you fall in the spectrum of those two different poles, right? Just today is the day that you celebrate. Every day is the day that you celebrate. Where are you in between? I thought about, how do I ask this question? If I ask for a show of hands of how many here today believe in the physical and body resurrection of Jesus Christ, how many of you would raise your hand? Now don't raise your hand, right? Because yeah, I got people out in the windows that are going, yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's kind of the point. That's why I didn't, because everyone's going to do it. And people who wouldn't do it, they're like, peer pressure. I got to raise my hand because I don't want to look like Satan on Easter, right? So they're like, all right, I believe too, you know? So it would kind of defeat the purpose to get you to do that. And then you leave going, well, I raised my hand. I must believe too, right? So this is a question that you have to ask yourself today. Really, if you really want to be honest about Easter, is it a day that we just dress up and eat some special food and we celebrate for a day? Or is it something that impacts your life profoundly forever, right? Not just today and tomorrow and the rest of this week, but the rest of your life and the one that is to come. Because that's the way that God intends the resurrection to impact us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything about your life. Let me give you an example. There's this guy named Saul. We read about him in the Bible, and he was prominent in his community, and he had a prestigious position. He was in the hierarchy. He was like one of the chief law-abiding citizens of his land, well-respected, right? So they gave him a very important position. His job and role in life was to persecute and punish Christians at that time. And Paul was really good at it, right? So his job was to make sure he would track down people that said that they believed in Christ and were following him, and he would punish them and he would persecute. In some cases, he would kill them. Make sure he would say that person needs to die, and they would die, right? Until he believed in Jesus Christ, until he believed in the resurrection. The moment he believed in the resurrection, everything changed for him in his life. He moved not only from not persecuting Christians any longer. Obviously, he stopped doing that because he was one of them. He not only stopped doing that, but he began the process of following the things that Jesus told him to follow, doing the things that Jesus told him to do. And we read in Scripture, his life was never the same, right? He was hugely impacted by the resurrection, to the point that he moved from being the person who persecuted Christians to being the most persecuted Christian in the Bible times that we read about. Right? What a radical change. That's how the resurrection should impact our lives as well. There really isn't any difference between the way that the Holy Spirit impacted Paul's life. He became known as Paul, the Apostle Paul. He penned a good portion of the New Testament through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God told him, I want you to write these things down. These are the things that I want my people to know, right? Paul started doing that. That was part of the way that God intended to use him. How does God intend to use you as a believer? How does God intend for the resurrection to impact your life so profoundly that you'd be changed forever? Let me ask you this question. What if I told you, let's just assume everyone in here believes. Let's just pretend that for a moment. Statistics say that you don't, but rather than say, yeah, I think you do, maybe you don't, let's do this. Let's pretend like you all do, right? Now imagine this. How would your life be different if you didn't believe? Not today, because you wouldn't be here, right? I wouldn't either. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't be in church. I wouldn't waste my time. But if you didn't believe, how would your life look different the rest of this week? Think about that for a second. Because if you can't think of anything, you have to think long and hard about how your life would look different if you didn't believe in the resurrection. You can't come up with much. Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ really changed you and impacted your life the way that it impacted Paul's, or the way that God says he desires for it to impact us? And I'm challenged by that myself. I think to myself, you know, Paul wrote some pretty significant words about the resurrection as the Holy Spirit inspired him. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because Paul writes an entire chapter on the resurrection. And here's a guy who was radically changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So what he's saying to you is, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ only impacts us while we're alive today, if there is no resurrection for the believer and the follower of Jesus Christ, then we're to be pitied. Right? Some of you remember Mr. T, Paul saying, pity the fool that's following Christ and doesn't believe that the resurrection is real, right? You're wasting your time. If there's no resurrection of a believer's life later, the way that the resurrection of Christ occurred, then you and I are wasting, we're pitiful. We are to be pitied more than anybody else. And then a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 15, 32, he says these words, if the dead are not raised, you and I, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Right? Paul says, you know, if there is no resurrection of the saints, of the believers in the body of Jesus Christ, if that's not real and that's not happening in your life, then you need to get all you can get while you're still here, because soon it's going to be game over for you. Right? Find all the pleasure that you can find in whatever way that you can while you're still alive, because when you die, it's game over for you. Now, this is Paul saying this. This is Paul, whose life was radically changed and impacted by the resurrection, so much so that he led a different way. What he's saying is, I'm doing this because I believe. I'm following Jesus because I believe. And I love the fact that he challenges you and I with the exact same thing. how is your life supposed to look because you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did anybody see the new Batman Superman movie came out this week? Anybody? You can say it here. It's okay. We're all right with that. Yeah. Did Batman die? Don't tell me. Because I think I'm going to go see it. So I kind of want to know, but I don't want to know. I haven't seen the reviews yet, so I'm not sure that Cindy will let me go. But I'm going to check that out. And if I can go see it, I am excited. I got this friend in Indiana. He loves Batman and Robin, right? So every once in a while for a gift, I get him Batman stuff, you know. And so I found the first season of the 1960 version of Batman. None of you were alive back then, but Adam West and Burt Ward, right? Batman and Robin. They had a television series. It was awesome. And so I found it and I sent him season number one, and he called me and he said, "Hey, Pastor Rick, thanks so much for that gift. I love it." You know, so I thought, well, I got to get him season two, you know? So I went and got him season two, and I was excited about it. You know, I mean, it's really cool. It's got like all the shows in season two. And so I thought, I probably better check a few of these episodes out just to make sure the DVD works before I send it to them. So I'm watching this, and you know, the same thing in season one happens in season two. Like when I saw it, there was season three available too. And then I got up to, this is a true story. So I got up to the cashier and she told me how much it was. And I thought, there's no way, you know, Cindy's not going to be happy about buying two. So I'm just going to buy one. And I got this one. I'll get season three later. But so I went home and I checked out just to make sure the DVD works, and I'm watching. So there's this episode in season two where Batman and Robin are sitting in this pool of water and they're chained up. The Joker was up to his misdeeds again, right? So he's behind this whole thing, and the Joker puts him in this body of water where there's this giant clam that's going to eat him, right? And I'm thinking, not a clam. I mean, how treacherous do you get, Joker, to get a clam? There's a giant, he looks like a giant Venus flytrap in the show. And he's like a porcupine kind of. He's got all these spindly things sticking out of him. And so I'm thinking, oh, that's ugly. So this thing, they're chained up and it starts moving towards Robin. And Batman says, "Robin, get yourself away. Push yourself away," right? And he says, "I can't, Batman, I can't move." And so the next scene, you see Batman kind of look away. Next thing you know, Robin's inside the clam, right? And the clam closes his mouth and the foot dangles, right? End of episode. And I'm like, no way. Robin's gone, right? Robin, this is the scene. This is the episode that he dies. And I'm thinking, Robin is the appetizer. Batman's the main meal. Deal over, game over, show's over. Then it dawned on me, wait a minute, there's a season three I never bought. Right? Batman doesn't die in this one. Neither does Robin. I've already seen season three and probably will buy it in the not too distant future. And so this is the way that I choose to live my life. Right, I face challenges and hardships like you do almost every day, right? I mean, there are things happen. I got moles that aren't the shape they're supposed to be, and I've got like this irregular heartbeat. Sometimes it goes pitter-pat, and sometimes patter-pitter, and it's like I've got these things that are just going on. I'm thinking, that's it, game over, you know? And then this is my thought. My thought is, you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because I don't die at the end. I live forever. I've been created as a creation by God in the image of God to live forever. So this is season one, episode whatever, but I've got a season two, a season 202, a season 2 million and two. I've got a season 2 trillion and two, and it keeps on going according to the plan that God has for my life. So that's the light that I see my life in today, right? When I face hardship and trial, it's like, how major is that in respect to what I'm going to inherit in the kingdom of God when I die, right? Like, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? I die and gain heaven? Come on, that's awesome. And I'm not trying to rush it along. I'm not saying, hey, let's plan the funeral now. What I'm saying to you is that no matter what happens in my life, God's got full control of that. And there's a plan and a purpose that he has for me that all I got to do is trust him and follow him. And he's going to do amazing things while I'm still here until that day comes that I meet him face to face. And then I am going to heaven to be with him forever in a place that he's prepared for me. And so Paul's really essentially saying to you and me today, do you view life in that lens or that perspective? Like, do you worry about today, like, oh no, this is really, really, really bad. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. Well, then where is your faith in Christ? And where is the power of resurrection in your body, right? There's nothing God can't handle. And at the end, in the end, you win. You're on his team. So Paul goes, I understand these questions that you have and these concerns, but quite honestly, Paul says they're foolish. They're foolish questions if you believe. Listen to what he says in verses 35 through 37. He says, someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. Paul says that your life, it's like a seed that one day is going to be planted in the ground, and what comes out of the ground is going to be so much greater than what went in. That's essentially what he's saying. And he's also saying, so your life is like a seed. And every day that you live, you've got an opportunity to contribute to the kingdom of God. You and I have an opportunity to share God's love with people. You have an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel message of Jesus Christ with other people, that he died, that he rose again on the third day, that if you place your faith and trust in Jesus and believe in him as God's son and as the atonement for your sin, you will be saved. Everything in your life changes from that day forward, right? So you and I, with the challenges that we face, they serve as distractions in some way from seeing life through that lens. Speaking of lenses, I went to the eye doctor last week, the optometrist, and so I got into the office, and you know, the deal that you all have been through, they put like an eye chart in front of me, and they say, can you read that bottom line? Well, I thought it was just literally a line. Truthfully, I couldn't see like letters and numbers. I thought it was just like a straight line. I said, yeah, it's a line. They go, no, you got to read what it says. And I said, well, I can't see it. So they said, okay, we'll go up the next one. Couldn't read the second one. Kind of knew that they were letters at that point, but couldn't read it. I thought I could make something up, but I wasn't going to fool them. Third one, couldn't read. Got to the fourth. Finally, I could read that fifth line, right? Z-U-T-W-X. I know that. She goes, yeah, you got that right. I said, awesome. What do I win? And she said, you win glasses. Yeah, you definitely need glasses. And so listen, my first thought is, are you kidding me? I mean, now my eyes are wearing out. Right, I got to get glasses, and that's going to be cumbersome. And then it dawned on me, you know what? I am wearing out. My body, the rest of me is wearing out. So is yours. Right? Our bodies, we're in the process of decay. For those of you that think you're getting better, you're wrong. You're not getting better. You're heading towards death. How about optimism on Easter? So here's the thing. You and I have just a short time to serve as a seed that God can use to allow to impact other lives in such a way to kind of fertilize other lives so that they too may grow one day into new life in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our daily lives. So my thought is, yeah, my eyes are wearing out, so are my legs and arms and, you know, everything else. That's just the way it is. So while I still got time, I'm going to love people and I'm going to love God and I'm going to allow him to use me whatever way he chooses to so that he's glorified and his kingdom is impacted by the seed that he's given me. So this is what Paul says about that in verse 42 through 44. He says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, Paul says, then there is also a spiritual body. And Paul says this, you can count on it. You can just bank your life on this. This is the way things are going to go. I'm amazed at the way our bodies function. I don't have the intellectual ability to understand everything, like the cells of our body. I'm amazed at that. I can't grasp it fully. I don't understand how every organ in our body functions so amazingly right now. None of us would be upright if it weren't for the organs functioning the way that they're functioning, right? The senses, like this smell and seeing and touching, all that, it's amazing how God's made us. And yet, how much more amazing will our resurrected bodies be? Because these bodies are imperfect and failing, but those bodies will be perfect and never fail, right? I can't even fathom what perfection looks like with all my imperfections. I just can't. I'm not thinking like, will I be handsome? You know, will I have more hair? Will I have no nose hair? Will God take away all? It's like, that's amazing that he can do that, right? It will never grow. I won't have to trim those things again. You know, that's awesome. And what I love about this is he says, that's not just for me. That's for you. That's for us. That's for those who believe in me. Listen to what he says in verses 54 and 55. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I love the way that that verse number 54 starts out. The word when. When this happens. It's like Paul is saying, it's going to happen. God, are you sure this is what you want me to write? Yes, write the word when. When this happens, it's a promise from God. God cannot break a promise. It's a promise. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when the mortal is clothed with immortality, then death, you're nothing. You got nothing on me. You got no power. You got no sting. You got no say in the rest of my life. So imagine this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that there will come a time in everyone's life that we will face judgment. The Bible says that we live a life and then we are judged. That's everybody. Whether you believe or not believe, you're going to be judged according to Scripture. And Scripture says that will be judged by Jesus. And there will be those who will be found innocent of their sins and invited to come and be with the Lord in heaven. But there will be those that will be found guilty for their sins. Not because they've done anything right or wrong, necessarily different from the other people who are forgiven, but because they have not believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, that when that day comes, every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. So if you choose not to believe now, one day you will believe. It'll just be too late. There will be no changing your eternal destiny at that point. Everyone believes at some point. And that's the harsh reality of what you and I face today. Is do we believe, and is there evidence that can be seen in our life of that belief? The Bible says that the sting of death is sin in verse 56, and the power of sin is the law, but it continues in verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Listen to what he says here. Let nothing move you. Always, not just Easter, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Live every day of your life knowing that one day you are going to die and you're going to face Jesus and you're going to give an account for your life and he will tell you whether or not you get in. And this challenges me. I mean, this, is there anything more important than this? Is there anything more important? Is it paying your rent, your own physical health, relationships that you have outside of the relationship? Is there anything more important than this? This impacts all of your eternal destiny, and we all will face this one day. So here's what I do, and I'm challenged by this every once in a while, but I just think to myself, I need to share this information with people that I care about. God tells me to love them. So not saying anything, even though it removes some of the confrontation that may exist when I have this conversation with people, because people don't always receive this well when I bring it up. But I'll just say something like, when you die, do you know where you'll go? And most people will say, yeah, I think I'll go to heaven. And so I'll say, you think you're going to go to heaven? And so they'll typically come back and they say, well, I hope so. I hope I'll go to heaven. And I'll say, so you think and you hope you'll go to heaven. All of eternity will be spent in either heaven or hell. And keep this in mind. If the Bible speaks about heaven, it also speaks about hell. If you believe in heaven, hell exists as well. For those who say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell, you're in for a rude awakening, because there is a hell according to Scripture. So if you're going to base what the Bible says on believing in hell, you can't exclude heaven. You can't exclude hell out of that anyway, out of that picture. So when we have... When we place the confidence that we have in getting to heaven on maybes and I thinks and hope, boy, does that concern me. It does, because the Bible says we don't have to hope or think. We can know. The Bible actually says that we can know whether or not we'll spend eternity in heaven. So I'll ask people, I'll say, well, tell me this. Why do you think you'll inherit the kingdom of God in heaven when you die? Tell me why. Most people will say, I'm a decent person. Right? I'm not as bad as other people. I'm not as bad as the Hitlers or the Bin Ladens or the Kim Kardashians in the world, right? I'm not evil like that. I got my vices. No one's perfect. We love saying that, don't we? No one's perfect, right? So that means everyone else is in the same boat I am, which is true. So I'm just not that bad. So I hope and I think that I'm going to get to heaven because there are other people worse than me. So I thought, how do I illustrate this for you today? And I'm going to ask for your participation in this. Could I get five people that will volunteer to help me on stage? And by the way, we're live streaming, so you're going to be all over the internet, right? Who's willing to do that? Evan, come on up here. And let me see. Karis, you come up here. And I've got like no adults. I'm going to just call on people that I know. Come on up here, Darren. You can come up here. Absolutely. Such a sweet lady, Miss Pat. How many do I got? Do I got four? All right. Where's Carrie? Carrie, come on up here. Carrie back there. All right. Come on up here. Now, here's what I'm going to do. You guys, we have to assign. This is going to be hard with children, but we're going to have to assign. You guys are going to be the judge and the jury now. Okay, so let's decide who's ultimate good. Ultimate good is Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, so that can be included. Think of someone who is the best person that you know of. Who's the most good person? Just shout out their name. Anyway, who's?
Tom Landry.
Who?
Tom Landry.
I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm in favor of that. Anybody else? Billy Graham, Mother Teresa. Come on, name somebody. Start shouting out. Who? I can't say it louder.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Good person? Arguably. How about someone else? Who?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham the best?
Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Tim Tebow, pretty good. Billy Graham or Tim Tebow? You're picking here. Who's better? How many in favor of Billy Graham being the best? How many in favor of Tim Tebow being the best? Okay, Billy Graham. Carrie, you are Billy Graham. Thank you for everything you've done, Billy. Now, here's the deal. Ultimate good is just the other side of you. You got to come towards me. Nope, you're not that side. You're this side, right? Ultimate good is Christ. You are right next to him. So well done. Who's ultimate evil? We mentioned a couple people, right? We got Bin Laden and Hitler. Who's ultimately the most evil? I can't hear you. Speak it out. People on stage can't yell because you're too close to me. Who? Who's the worst? Who? No. Worse than Hitler? I mean, they're not worse than Hitler, are they? Who's the worst? Stalin has won like every service. Joseph Stalin? I mean, I didn't know he was that bad. He won the first two. Is Stalin worse than Hitler? Yes or no? Who says Stalin's worse than Hitler? Stalin's the worst. Who says Hitler is worse? All right, Hitler wins. All right. I cannot do that to you, Karis. Darren, I'm sorry, but today you're Hitler.
I'm Hitler.
Yeah. So you're not Satan. Yeah. You're right next to him.
Oh,
all right. So you are Hitler. All right. Who do you want Evan to be? Name just a popular person. Anyone. Who? Michael Jackson. All right. Evan is Michael Jackson. Now, step back, our other two candidates here. Where does he go between good and evil? Where does he go? Which, point to me, because you're the judges here. Oh, Michael Jackson's moving towards evil. More? Michael Jackson moving. Stop here? Michael Jackson good here? You guys okay with that? All right, Michael's here. Thank you, Michael. All right, who's Karis? Name a name. Who? Odell. Odell could be... Who?
Mother Teresa.
Say that again.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. Where do you want Mother Teresa to go? Point to me. Ah, Mother, you're going over here. Mother. Right there? Stop? Okay, I got a bunch of stops. All right, thank you, Mother Teresa. Miss Pat, come up here. Who would you like Miss Pat to be? Just shout out a name.
Martha Stewart.
All right. All right, Miss Pat is Martha Stewart. Where does Miss Pat go? Martha, I'm sorry, Martha. Stop now. Is she worse than Michael? No? Yes? No, she's not worse than Michael. You were right here, Martha Stewart. All right, so there we got it. You are the judge and jury. This is your evaluation of good and evil. Now let me ask you, where do you stand? Between ultimate good and ultimate evil, where do you stand? Like, are you in front of or behind Mother Teresa and Billy? Are you somewhere near Martha? Are you beyond Michael? Are you down here with Hitler? Where are you? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible uses this measuring stick for heaven and hell. And here's where he puts it. He says, God says... Yeah. Even beyond Billy, the breakdown is only God is good, right? All of these people are destined for hell, including you and I. I'm going to show you some scripture in a moment. Will you thank our volunteers for coming on stage with me? Thank you. Thank you, Darren. Thank you. So here's the deal, right? You're destined for hell, no matter how good you are. No matter where you rank as a human being among other human beings, you are destined for hell and eternal separation from God. And yet, the Bible says that because we are all sinners, we all have sinned, therefore we all fall short of the glory of God. Right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the consequences of sin, according to Romans 6:23, is death. But the gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Right? That's the key. The key is those that are evil can be saved when they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Right? You get eternal life when you believe in Christ, even though you're a sinner. God would not allow you to be separated from him forever. He wouldn't allow that to happen. And so what he did was he loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not have to perish, but would have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing that he offers it. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are. And so some people will say, well, okay, if that's the truth, then what do I do if I'm a sinner? How do I inherit the kingdom of God as a sinner? And this is what the Bible says in Romans 10:9, again, the Apostle Paul. He says, if you confess with your mouth, if you just point out Jesus is the Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, But it can't just stop there, because we can fool people that way. You and I, you're here today, right? And you're saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is risen. We know what to say. There's a caveat that he adds to that. He says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the game changer. When you believe in your heart that he really is God's son, and he really did die on the cross for your sins, he really did sacrifice his life for you. When you say you believe in him, you follow him. You do the things that your Savior tells you to do. Not perfectly, but when you don't, he died for that forgiveness so that you can know new life in him. You can say, I'm sorry, I confess that to you, and he moves you forward anyway. Right? And you advance on a day-by-day basis, becoming more like Christ until that day comes that you meet him face to face. Is that not the most astonishing gift that anyone has ever presented to you? There's just absolutely nothing that surpasses that. You will never receive a gift that is better than that gift. So everything inside of me wants to beg and plead for you to believe. Right, I want to get down on my hands and knees. I want to grovel before you. And I'm saying, please, 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 please believe. So this is what I did. I said, as I was studying for this message, I thought, God, there's got to be something that, preferably that Jesus said, since he's the Savior, that I can share with Wildwood on Easter Sunday morning that will convince every single person to believe. I think there's irrefutable evidence. I not only believe my life has been changed forever because of him, but I want all of my friends and all of my Wildwood family to believe with me. So what is it that you want me to tell them? And I'm going through scripture. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, is this it? Is this it? And I come to a passage where Jesus just shared some very important information. And he kind of steps away from the situation and he goes, now, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And so, and I'm thinking, no, I want to jump in there and close the deal for you, Jesus. Right? You can't do that. You can't step away and say, if you believe, believe. And if you don't believe, don't believe. You can't leave them there. They may not choose you. And it dawns on me that when Jesus shares truth to you, listen to this now. He's not speaking to your ears. He's speaking to your heart. When Jesus shares truth with you, he's speaking to your heart, and he wants your heart to be softened so that the seed of God's word that goes in there results in salvation and good fruit in your life. That's what his desire is. It's nothing that you and I do. It never was. It's just a condition of our hearts. So I thought to myself, so if they believe, they will, and if they don't, they won't. And yet truth has been shared, and good seed has been sown. The real question is, how fertile is the ground? So this is the way Paul puts it at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Paul says there's nothing more important in your life than this. And he's about to do what Jesus just said to do. Let them that have ears to hear, let them hear. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul steps away and he says, do you believe? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because that's what really happened. And you can believe it for yourself tonight, today, or not, and it will determine your eternal destiny. So those who believe in Jesus will live forever with him in the place that he's preparing for you right now. It took God 6 days to do creation on the earth that we live in today. Jesus Christ has been preparing a place for you in heaven for 2,000 years. Can you imagine how magnificent that place will be? Why would anyone want to miss out? Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Why do we have to talk about Easter every day? Because everything changes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve on stage with me and members of his praise team. And while they're coming, I want to share with you a last illustration. It's kind of been a custom for me to look at a book that Max Lucado wrote called 6 Days, One Friday. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's an enjoyable book, light reading. And so every once in a while, I just grab it on Good Friday and I read it. Well, he used this illustration in that book, and he talked about this missionary that went to kind of a remote island area surrounded by water, and he had heard that there was a contagious disease that was ravaging the people there. And so he just felt compelled through Christ to go. And when he got there, he discovered that there's a hospital not far from this island. In fact, it was located just beyond the river that separated this island from the mainland. But right on the coast there was a hospital. But none of the people from the island would go there because of their fear of the water. They believed that the water had evil spirits in it, and that if they went into the water, they would die. And so the missionary told him, he said, guys, I came by the water. I got here through the water. And it didn't convince them. So he gathered the entire community and he went down to the river and he stuck his hand in the water and splashed it and showed it. He said, look, nothing happened. I'm fine. This water's not anything. It's not going to impact your life. And they didn't believe him. And so he waded in. He got waist deep. And he said, look, I'm fine. Everything's good. And they would not believe. They would not cross to go to the hospital. So you know what the man decided to do, the missionary? He dove in head first. He dove in and he swam across the river and he got to the other side and he came up with his fist in the air in a triumphant announcement and he said, look, I'm alive. It's okay. That's when the people believed. They jumped in as well, swam, got to the hospital, and they recovered. Here's why I tell you that story. Isn't that what Christ did? Christ dove in to the river of death, and he came out the other side triumphantly telling you, death does not have a sting. You will live forever with me if you believe in me. And he raised his fist in the air and he said, now who will follow me? That's my prayer for you today. Will you join me in this prayer? Father, right now I pray that you'll speak to your people. I believe that you hasten them to be here. I don't think that there's a single person that's here that's by coincidence. I believe that you have a plan and a purpose for everyone here. And some of us, God, we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus, but our weeks have not been impacted by the resurrection the way that they should be. And we're going to leave here changed and more impacted by the fact that every day is an opportunity to sow other good seeds for you. But God, there are some here today who have not believed. And today your Holy Spirit is speaking to them and he is softening their hearts. And this seed that's going out right now, it's being planted in a softer heart today because the Holy Spirit is working inside of them. Lord, would you tell them to admit to you that they are sinners? Help them to pray this and say this to you now. Help them to call out to you and cry out to you and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need forgiveness of my sins. And I need to walk with you the rest of the time that you've placed me on this earth so that I can spend eternity with you in heaven. Would you do that today, Lord? Would you speak to those individuals that you're speaking to right now through the Holy Spirit so that they will pray this and be changed forever? We'll give you all the glory for the change that occurs in their life when they place their faith and trust in Christ. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.